One of the catalysts to responding to God's call for conviction is to acknowledge the catastrophe of compromise. Like, you're given two choices in life, basically. Conviction, compromise. Eternal life, cost. Compromise, catastrophe, disaster, consequences. So you acknowledge that compromise is a catastrophe. It helps you see the wisdom of life in Christ.
What's up, Live in the Light listeners? I hope it is a beautiful day wherever you are today, and you are as excited as I am to get back into God's Word as Pastor Robbie teaches us about the life of Samuel. So we already know that God personally called Samuel, but what happens next? How does Samuel's life and conviction turn into an incredible example of God's faithful leading? Open your Bibles to 1 Samuel 3 if you can today, and let's get right back into it. Here's Pastor Robbie.
The call for conviction, I must know the context. Number two, I must hear his call. I must hear his call. That should seem obvious in that way. Look at verse 3 now. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here I am." And ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. And the Lord, I just love our God. And the Lord called again, "Samuel." He called him by name. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not ever been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he rose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And Eli was a little old. You got to give him some grace. But Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore, Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down. And if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Look at verse 10. And the Lord came and stood calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." Now, what a beautiful scene this is, isn't it? Now, if you just step back from this a little bit and think about what we just read, here is the Lord Almighty, the God of the universe, personally calling out to the young man, Samuel. And this is what the Lord does in every generation. He personally and intimately calls men and women to himself. If you just think of a brief study of scripture, you think of Abraham, Moses, Samuel, David, Daniel, Peter, Paul, we go on and on. They were all personally met and called by the Lord God himself. All of them. "You," God says, "I have chosen you and I have chosen to use you." Here is the Lord in the midst of compromise calling for conviction, this young man, Samuel. I think it's so sweet here, Samuel's sensitivity, his sincerity, his urgency. He is hearing again his voice being called. He doesn't even really know what's going on, but listen, he's ready to respond. I love that. He's ready to respond. He's so eager. He hears his voice and he does whatever he knows to do. And he runs to Eli and he says, I'm here, you have called me." Bless his heart in that way. Bless his heart, so ready. Love that. Three times the Lord calls Samuel by name. That is so awesome. Three times Samuel runs to Eli, and then Eli again clues in the third time, instructs Samuel what to do. And then we have verse 10 there. And look at verse 10 closely. And the Lord came and stood. You want to talk about a personal God? And the Lord came and stood, calling as at other times. Notice, "Samuel, Samuel." Blesses me so much. You just read that the Lord came and stood. Samuel, this is the God of the heavens and the earth, the absolute sovereign king, comes and stands and calls a young boy by name. What an awesome God we have and serve. What an awesome God who loves us so much. Look at what he's willing to do and what he does over and over again. He came and stood. You know, it's so interesting. Samuel here in verse 10, notice he receives both a word and a vision. Both were rare in those days, but that is about to change because God is making the call for conviction. The Lord is moving and he is calling. Again, notice the intimacy of the Lord. I'd love to hear so much just the interview we did with Stefan and Andrea. I'd love to hear Stefan's calling. I'd love to hear in that time of his life where the Lord just said, I'm not gonna let you continue to engineering and construction. I'm choosing you and I'm calling you to go serve me. That's what the Lord does. He's so personal. He's so intimate. That is so awesome. And all of us in one way or another must hear the call of the Lord for where we are to do more than simply go along with the rest of the world. We are saved in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are saved to bear fruit for him. And I remember the season of my life when the Lord called me into ministry. It was terrifying, but exhilarating. I always remember looking back upon that season though, and there's nothing that could ever convince me otherwise. The Lord personally chose me. The Lord personally, against my own will, the Lord personally called me. And it is so healthy for me this week to think back and to remember the absolute intimacy and how personally the Lord steps down to your level and says, you don't deserve this. This has nothing to do with you and your merit. It is my sovereign grace. It is my love. It is my mercy upon you, but I am calling you to serve me. I remember when he did that with my wife, Jill, as we were dating and about to be engaged, he called her. He called her. I remember praying desperately when she was away by herself, Lord, please call her, please call her, please call her. Because listen, if she's not called, it's not gonna work. But he did, and here we are. That's how awesome our God is. And listen, he's doing that again. And I pray he's doing that today. Like I pray there are some young men, women, and there are some people here today that you will supernaturally hear his call. Here's one thing I know, I'm not getting any younger. And a lot of people around me, that's the same with them. Every generation, the Lord will handpick and say, you are called for something greater than what you're currently doing. For the service, whether it's vocationally or non-vocationally, the opportunities to see yourself bear fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ with the one life that you've been given. And I just love the Lord came and stood and said, Samuel, Samuel, Lord, do it again today. Do it again today as only you can. And when you do, those men and women, they will be coming. Notice this fourth time the Lord calls, and think about that. He calls Samuel, Samuel, how beautiful and how wonderful. In the midst of awful compromise right here, Samuel, Samuel, you are called for a life of conviction by name, a leader to himself. Samuel will be raised up. He would be used to change the direction of the nation. That's how profound and powerful Samuel's life would be by the grace of God. The Lord always has his people. Again, how can I not address young people here today, specifically based on the context of our passage? In a world of compromise, God calls for conviction. Young people, the easiest thing you can do is to live in compromise. Everyone's doing it. It's the easiest thing ever. Just get in the boat and float down the river to death. Everyone else is doing it. The hard part with the call of life and the call of power and the call of conviction and the call of the gospel and the call of purpose and the call of meaning and the call of glory is to say, I'm not going downstream with everyone else, but I'm turning by the grace of God and with fear and trembling, I'm gonna start trying to go upstream because God has called me to himself and the day is coming so soon when Christ will return. And then all that I've done for him, that's the only thing that will last and the only thing that will matter. And young people, you're here today, you have to see it for what it is. Look at the world around you and recognize the emptiness that it ultimately presents and then look at Jesus Christ, and you know how beautiful and powerful and awesome he is. And any life called to his purposes is a life that will be remembered by him forever, and a life that will see treasures in heaven forever as well. God, I pray you would call young people to yourself today as a point of wisdom and supernatural working of the Holy Spirit. It's not a matter of if God is going to call. I love that. It's a matter of when. Listen, it's a matter of who. What kind of young man or woman does God call? Well, notice Samuel here. Notice his approachability. Notice his availability. Notice Samuel here. His mind is not dead in his phone. His head is not drugged with substances. His life is not plagued with lust. His heart is not polluted with social media. Notice he's open. He's open. There's so much he doesn't know, but he's open. He's available. He's listening. He's ready. He's aware of the need. Is he intimidated? You better believe he's intimidated. But he's willing. The Samuels in this room right now, there's gotta be some. There's gotta be some. So many of you like me, man, the last thing you ever thought you'd ever be doing is doing something like this right now. And just everything you saw was, I can. Here's a good line by Mark Batterson. He says this, God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. You have to know that. It's not about being qualified. You're never going to be qualified. He doesn't call those with all the giftedness. He doesn't call those with all the status. But rather, he qualifies those that he calls. It's the step of faith. Saying this week to some friends that for Peter, he couldn't walk on water unless he gets out of the boat. He had to take a step of faith. God's people don't cross the Jordan before the priest's foot stands in the water. As long as they stand on the shore looking at the opportunity, nothing happens. They take a step of faith and then the water parts. It's called faith. You have to make room for the Lord. Can we put down our phones just long enough to hear from God? God is calling for conviction in the midst of compromise. And listen, very often, it's so amazing as we hear through baptism testimonies this weekend and over again, God will often bring affliction to get your attention. Are you listening? Are you available? Are you listening? Are you available? And this, listen, this is so important. Are you aware of the alternative to not answering God's call? See, what he means? Point number three, I must acknowledge the contrast. I must acknowledge the contrast. See, well, what do you mean by that? Well, what's the alternative to the life of conviction? Well, it's the life of compromise, which has such great consequences. Look at verse 11. Then the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I'm about to do a thing in Israel, which the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. On that day, I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. And I declare to him, I'm about to punish this house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God. Their sins were directly against the Lord and his sacrifices. That is so, so serious. And he did not restrain them. Where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. Verse 14, therefore I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever. See, in this chapter, we see again, for like the third or fourth time, we see the fall of Eli and the rise of Samuel. The fall of Eli and his household and the rise of Samuel. So what I need us to do here, I need us to accept and acknowledge that the life of compromise following sin is serious, it is seductive, and in the end, I have to help us to understand the life of sin ends in destruction. You see, one of the catalysts for responding to the call of conviction, listen carefully now, young people, everyone, but listen carefully now. One of the catalysts to responding to God's call for conviction is to acknowledge the catastrophe of compromise. Like you're given two choices in life, basically. Conviction, compromise. Eternal life, cost, compromise, catastrophe, disaster, consequences. So you acknowledge that compromise is a catastrophe. It helps you see the wisdom of life in Christ. And this is presented to us here in Samuel chapter 3 and like a million other places in scripture as well. Here's the principle of wisdom, okay? When you're living life and you boil it all down, here it is, and God's word wants you to hear it today. Ready? It's this, it's simple. You'll never win with sin, ever. Like that's a principle to live your life upon. Men here right now, you're in the midst of being tempted with some sin. You will never win with sin. You'll never win with sin. You say that to yourself out loud. Convince yourself if it's still true. Sin tries to make you think you'll win. Sin tries to make you think you'll feel good forever. Sin promises you all these blessings. It's a lie, 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 all from Satan. You'll never win with sin, ever. Ever. No exceptions ever. You'll never win, whether it's now or in the time to come. You will never win with sin. Hophni and Phinehas, right? The two sons of Eli and their horrible sins of blasphemy against the sacrifices of God, when they were filled with their greed and abuse of power of God's people, they were stealing from God's people, they were filling their lives with sexual pleasures. Bet you they thought they were unstoppable. Bet you they thought they were gonna win, and yet just a few verses from now, they will die. They will drop dead. They will drop dead in battle directly because of their sin and their blasphemy. How many have gone after an all-in? I mean, this is so much of a world. They've gone after an all-in on the temporal pursuit of self-obsessed pleasure. All-in, like sacrificing myself for the sake of all-in temporal pursuit, self-idolatrous pleasure. Just fulfilling every lust possible. So many are going all-in on that. And that will lead to eternal regret. Again, this is a moment of wisdom. You'll never win with sin. I pray in some form you'll be able to have that phrase in your heart for the rest of your life. So if you agree that that statement is true, based on the inerrant word of God, you'll never win with sin, then here's my question. Well, then why would you want to build your life on sin then? And there's a couple answers to that. You say, well, just because I just love my sin more than I love Christ, or because you're really dumb and you just don't seem to care about anything at all, right? I mean, just again, why would you want to build your life on something that's promised destruction? You know, personally right now, I'm reading in my Bible reading plan, I'm reading through, just finished Numbers. I'm in the Psalms, I'm in the book of Isaiah, and in the later epistles within the New Testament. I'm amazed in all four of those sections. I am amazed again at how frequently the Bible warns us about judgment and speaks of the coming of Christ and the reality that in the end, like the wicked and the arrogant, I'm amazed at how many places God references these truths. Again, specifically the arrogant of the wicked, the rebellion of the godless, and the addiction of the perverse to sin. It just says over and over. I was particularly impacted by 2 Peter. And in 2 Peter, I just wanna take some time. I wanna put up some verses for you on the screen here. I just want you to see this with me. And I just want a couple. I really encourage you to read through 2 Peter. There's only three chapters, probably take you 10 minutes. It could change your life. I've done that recently. I'm like, wow, just look at some of these verses here. So 2 Peter 2:14, speaking of the wicked, they have eyes full of adultery, insatiable for sin. They entice unsteady souls. They have hearts trained in greed, accursed children, forsaking the right way. They have gone astray. Next verse is from 2 Peter 2, verse 17. These are waterless springs and mist driven by a storm. For them, the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved. For speaking loud boasts of folly, they entice by sensual passions of the flesh. Those who are barely escaping from those who live in error. Listen to this verse right here. Look how clear God's word is. They promised freedom. They promise freedom. That's so true. But they themselves are slaves of corruption. For whatever overcomes a person, to that he is enslaved. 2 Peter 3, 3-5. Knowing this first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. For they deliberately overlook this fact that the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God. Notice that they deliberately overlook this fact. And then I just wanna end with this. The next verse is up there. 2 Peter 3:7 and on says this, but by the same word, the heavens and the earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. Just so sobered by the clarity of God's word. And then verses 8 to 15. Again, I want to read this for us. I just want you to see again how God's word is. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is one day. Here's the good news. The Lord is not too slow, fulfill his promises, some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but all should reach repentance. Listen, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. When the heavens pass away, it will be a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are all done in it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought we to be in lives of holiness and godliness? Look at that. Here's the response. Because this is true, because the world's ending, because things are going to burn, because judgment is coming, then we as people of God are live lives of holy and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming day of God, the return of Jesus Christ, by which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved. The heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to his promise, we are waiting for a new heavens, a new earth, in which righteousness dwells. And then verse 14 and 15 says, therefore, beloved, because of all this, church, because this is true, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace in this, and count the patience of our Lord as salvation. The judgment is real. The opportunity for life in Jesus Christ is also so real. Jesus Christ came and died for our sins. In unsurpassed love, he paid the penalty for our sins and bore the very wrath of God and was raised from the dead. All those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, their sin is 100% atoned for. They will never die and they receive everlasting life. When I see the contrast of the reality of sin and judgment, but then I see the gospel and love and grace and forgiveness and mercy of Jesus Christ, this is my moment of wisdom. Which do I choose? What do I believe? Which path do I want to go? When I hear the call for conviction, it's a hard path, it's a narrow path. It's a love path, a mercy path, a forgiveness path, a grace path. It is the Lord's path. God, would you call so many to that path now? And then lastly here today, just very briefly, when this all happens, the call for conviction, then I will anticipate the confirmation. I will anticipate the confirmation. Look at verse 19 now, back in 1 Samuel 3. This is so great. Just really briefly here, notice this. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again at Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh, notice, by the word of the Lord. So I have 6 confirmations from these verses. I wanna put all of them up on the screen. If we can just do that in the back, just go fly through them all. I'll give you a first 3. Let's go first 3. We can do that, okay? Notice this in the confirmation. Keep going with the next 2 so I can just go through them quickly here. I will anticipate his confirmation. Notice this, and Samuel grew. So when I answer the call for conviction, I can anticipate the confirmation of God's growth in my life. Look at the confirmation through God's presence. Put the third one up too, that's good. And the Lord was with him. The presence of God through those who choose a life of conviction. A life of compromise quenches God's spirit. A life of conviction, if God is with me in that way, what else do I need? Right here in these verses, that might be God calling. If it's not, make sure you turn that phone off, all right? But if it's God, answer it. Listen, confirmation through God's wisdom. This is so beautiful. Let none of his words fall to the ground. Can you imagine the infinite amount of words that fall to the ground right now in social media in our world and blah, 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 blah. Never more talking ever in the history of the world. Never more meaninglessness. But in Christ, in God's word, none of your words fall. A life of conviction is a life of wisdom. His confirmation comes through that. And let's put the last 3 up now too. I will anticipate his confirmation through what? Authentication. And all Israel knew that Samuel was established. Listen, when you live a life of conviction, you don't have to worry about trying to prove yourself to people. You don't go self-promoting. God will take care of that. When God authenticates someone, no one's stopping you. No one's stopping him. That is so awesome. That is such a place of faith. See, a life of conviction, trust that God authenticates, and confirmation through renewal. Hey, what happens when the Lord appeared, what's the next word? Again, and the Lord, what happens when God keeps showing up and appearing? You know what we call that? Revival. When God keeps showing up, whenever God is, man, there's revival. When he keeps showing up, there's renewal, and that leads to revival. Do you imagine all of us live a life of conviction? If every single one of us started to shun compromise and live a life of conviction, you better watch out, man. You're gonna see some serious momentum towards some serious God appearing in our lives in new ways. And if you're not careful, you might actually bump into a form of revival. Confirmation through revelation. The Lord revealed himself to Samuel by the word. Remember in verse 1, and the word of the Lord was rare and there was no vision. Look what happens here. Now God begins to reveal himself to Samuel by his word. So encouraging, man, a life of compromise versus a life of conviction. God will always have his people. He's always working. He's always calling. Listen, last thing, ready? Who's next? He's calling again. Thank you, Lord. This is answered prayer. Only answered that if that's God. Church, who's next? In all seriousness before the Lord, man, when this happened in my life, never be the same again. You totally thought you're headed one way. You had all these plans and all these things you thought you were gonna do, and the Lord intervenes and goes, nope, we're going this way. Never the same again. Remember that, Jill? Never the same again. Love you so much for your faithfulness there too. Never the same again. Let's pray. Just pray, heads bowed right now. Heads bowed, I'm not rushing. God, I pray you will call young people. I pray you will call young people. I pray you will have your voice so loud in their hearts and minds. I pray you will reach down into their souls and you will tell them inexplicably, you child, I'm calling you. Lord, we are living in such a time of compromise, such days of darkness, but you always have your people. And so I pray, Lord, you are moving with tremendous conviction and such grace. And I believe by faith, Lord, you'll be doing that. Maybe to those who expected the least, that you often do. I think of Paul on his way to murder Christians. He's met by Jesus Christ, becomes one of the greatest leaders the church has ever seen. Yes, Lord. Right now in Jesus' name, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I pray you are calling, specifically choosing and calling people by name. You came and stood. How personal you are, how loving you are, how merciful you are. I pray, God, give such wisdom. We just see the reality of compromise leads to destruction. Your Bible's so clear. Please, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We are so glad you're here. And without you, Living the Light wouldn't exist. Our passion and mission here is to see radical transformation in God's people through the revelation of God's truth. We believe that through the faithful and passionate preaching of God's word, disciples will be made and the church will be strengthened. Do you want to be a part of that mission? If so, check out our website at liveinthelight.ca for ways to give or give us a call at 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's all for today. Hope you can join us again next time on Live in the Light. I wanna be-